Welcome. We have folks here from Denmark, from Delaware, and Pastor Carl is here with the group. Great to have you. And then Sam Muhima came in from Uganda, I think. Is he here? Overcap, Pastor Sam, great to have you. Anyone else from abroad? We have Pastor Julian from Romania right here. From Romania. Could we put the map of Romania up on the screen? Just because we're in greater grace, we learn our geography a little bit. Okay, so Hungary on the west there, Ukraine, Moldova, Bulgaria, Serbia. Years ago when we were living in Hungary and evangelizing, we were very radical on the street, preaching and sharing. And there were Romanian refugees. Romania was a communist country seriously back in the years ago. And like Latinos are coming to our country, so Romanians were also coming to Hungary. And Pastor Julian was one of them. And we met, and he was in the southern part of Budapest, I remember, and he just had a heart for God. So we would have our church services, and then there would be maybe a couple rows of Romanians listening. The languages are very different, Romanian and Hungarian. But he's a disciple. And he followed. This is 1990 something, and he's a very good friend to me and faithful servant. He's an ordained pastor in Greater Grace. He went to Bible school in Hungary. Has served as a missionary in China, in Azerbaijan, in Romania now. And he evangelizes and ministers, and it's great to have him in the United States for a couple of weeks or a month or so. And he said to me a few minutes ago in my office, you know, America did a lot for us. Imagine that sentence. America did a lot for us. I come back here just to minister to people. And he's not saying it in the... But just to give back. Just to give back. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
It is. And so he's on his way to Culpeper, Virginia tonight. And another thing he shared, and I'm just going to ask him to lead in prayer tonight. We have two parts of the service. This part, a short part, our offering, and then the eighth grade advancement service with Pastor Barry. And... another thing he said to me, Pastor Julian, was the Baptist churches in Romania are contacting me and saying, can you come and teach our people to evangelize? Because our churches are dying. Our churches are dying. And we can say that in our country, too. They said to Pastor Julian, they said, our people are in the city. Our people talk and they do business and they have a lot of friends and so on. But they don't lead people to Christ. That sound familiar? I can be at work. I can talk a lot. I can be a nice guy. I can do my duties as a citizen. But can I lead somebody? Can I help them find Christ? Can I lead them? Can I see it happen, you know? So he does that. He ministers in different churches. Pastor John Post and Diane are here too, who came back from Romania. They're on the team with Pastor Julian. And we just thank you for your labor and your work. He's going to do the rap tonight. So it'd be fun to listen. You know, what does he have to say? And he said also that the burden he has is like not only lead somebody to Christ, but also spend time and disciple them, and teach them, and lead them in the Bible. What a great vision that is. So that resonated in my heart. I wanted to share that with you because I feel like that's an awesome spirit-led, spirit way of thinking. So, Pastor, would you like to come up and take the microphone from over there and come on up and lead us in a prayer? Yeah. And you just came from Central Asia too, I think, right?
Yeah. We had a trip with the team, so we went to Izmir, Turkey. We visited another city, Balikashir, and then we went to Uzbekistan, Samarkand. Spent time with Pastor Mati and Pastor Joseph and the church there. Then in Azerbaijan, in Sheki, we have a church there. And also in Baku, so it was really great. And the church is sending greetings to you, and they love you very much. And everything what Pastor Schaller said, I learned here, you know, from this place. I mean, from this church, and I'm very thankful for that. For your lives, and it's really great to see what God is doing here and around the world. So this is a beautiful time we live in. So let's keep going with God. You want me to pray?
Yeah, sure. Thank you.
Okay, our Heavenly Father, we worship you. We thank you. You are an amazing, wonderful God, and we thank you that you have called us. Lord, you gave us your Holy Spirit. You gave us your Son. You gave us your Word, Lord, and you sent us. You empowered us, Lord, to go into this world and to preach the gospel. Lord, just teach us, Lord, how to do that and how to minister to people, how to encourage people, how to love people, Lord, with your love. Just really, we thank you so much for this vision, great vision you have put it in our hearts, Lord, to really seek the things above, the heavenly things, Lord. And we thank you that we can share that with others and we can bring people to you. And we thank you that you are using us for your glory. Just bless this service. And bless our time together, Lord, our fellowship, the word. Just prepare our hearts, Lord, that we will receive and also give. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Well, turn with me to, this is a short message, but an important one, is Luke 8. Years ago, I didn't know where I was living many years in Hungary, and we did mission work in the region, in the Balkans, and Pastor Julie and I, who were in Bulgaria one time, and we had early morning prayer. Do you remember that? Yeah, we had early morning prayer, and him being here refreshes my heart, and we anticipate a great convention at the end of June, and folks are coming in. Yeah, and we just pray as he prayed, the Lord, sharpen our sword. Lord, bring back to our mind. Lord, help us focus. Help us help others in the important, important things. Now, look at this parable, chapter 8, verse 10. Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, seeing they might not see, hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Watch this little picture, watch this. Here's a picture, reproduction, another person, reproducing another person. What are they reproducing? What are we reproducing? Another person, another sinner. Another sinner, another sinner, just like you. You know, just turn to your neighbor. Just like you. Go ahead. Yeah, that's what we got. We got another one. We got another sinner. Okay. How could the direction change? How could this direction change? How could it happen that there'd be totally something different, totally different? how could it change? We cannot change. We do not. It doesn't happen. We just produce sinners. How can it change? How could it go from that direction to totally 90-degree change in direction? Yeah, huh? It's right there, that verse. It says, verse 11, the seed is the word of God. There it is. That's the key. The word of God, born of the Spirit, born of God. Christ born in us. Christ is not a sinner. Christ has no sin. Born of God. Imagine, you are regenerated. You are born again, Titus 3:5. You must be born again, John 3, verse 5. Will not enter the kingdom of heaven without being born again. Now, the seed is the word of God, the gospel, the words. And you gravitate to those words. That's why we gather like tonight. We just want to hear a word, the Spirit, speak to us. So Jesus tells what happens. Verse 12, those by the wayside are they that hear, then comes the devil and takes away the word, lest they should believe and be saved. So we have something extraordinary in that verse, don't we? That you hear, but somehow it's taken away. Somehow it doesn't register. Somehow I don't get it. It doesn't get rooted. It doesn't work. Somehow it doesn't happen. But it is the word of God. But somehow it's stolen. Yeah, somehow. It's not explained how, but we just believe that what Jesus is saying is absolutely true, of course, that it could be stolen from somebody's heart, from their mind. Verse 13, and they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, in a time of temptation, fall away. There's another condition. There's another phenomena. There's another thing there. There's something there that we don't see it, but this is a real thing. Jesus is talking about this as a very real thing. I was saying to my wife, about half of the plants that I plant, they die. I have no idea. I'm working on it. I got to learn more about soil, watering, sunshine, everything. Why do my plants die? Why? Miracle Grow. Yeah, you know, people need Miracle Grow in their hearts, don't they? Come on, Miracle Grow. I wish they could sell that at Home Depot or Lowe's or wherever. The seed, yeah, it's not deep enough. The soil isn't loose enough. There's something not right about it. It doesn't work. But come on, God, you are God. This is the word of God. Why can't it grow? Why can't it grow in that person's heart? Why can't the kingdom of God be born in that person? It has to be. And Jesus is saying, no, this is what happens. This is what happens. The soil is too rocky, or it's not deep enough. It's not worked up enough. There's not enough trouble in the person's life. Maybe they're just not the humility. I don't want to try to explain it. I just want to read it for what it's saying and say that this must be heartbreaking to God when this power of the word is a real thing. And when it happens, it really does happen. And when it happens, there's the birth of the kingdom in somebody's heart, and they start to hunger for knowledge. They start to hunger for each other. They start to hunger for fellowship. They start to hunger for the Bible. They start to hunger for, teach me to pray. they start to believe that prayer is a powerful thing, that it can change something. But it doesn't happen with these people, but it does happen. But with these people, it's not happening. Go to the next verse. It says, verse 14, and that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life. Let's memorize that together. Let's say it a few times. Say it after me. Cares, riches, pleasures. Again, cares and riches and pleasures of this life. Let's say it again. Cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. It's choked out by the cares. Let's give some examples. Worry, cares, worry about my health, worry about my job, worry about my family, worry, cares. Riches, let's say that one, riches. Somebody's counting their money every day. They're very concerned about their properties, real estate, investments, the market, up and down, all of these things, the riches, cares, my day and night, the anxieties, the riches, and then the pleasures. I don't have any time. I'm going here. I'm going there. How can the Word of God germinate and be planted in a heart when my whole life is not about God? It's about the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. It's not about God. It's not about God. But we are those that kind of take care of our soul. We are those that kind of nurture. We want the seed to grow. Come on. Yeah, let's have the seed growing. Let's see what it will do in my heart. Let's see what the Word of God will do with another direction. You know, instead of sin, we end up loving holiness, loving righteousness, loving truth. We end up like loving people. We end up loving God. Like our life is bigger than our world, our small life, you know. Our addictions, our fears, our worries, our anxieties, our pleasures, our riches, and so on. And there's depths of earth. There's depths of earth. And also the devil somehow, you know, when you steal something, somehow it's got to be on the surface. Like when I steal something, it's kind of beyond the service, right? Like I see if they'll take the wallet out of the pocket, but they can't dig deep in the ground to get. I mean, a thief is, bear with me, okay? The seed is there to be stolen, but when it's planted in your heart, he can't get it. You got it. The Spirit put it in you. And you nurtured it. You kind of let it get buried. Bury it, Lord. Bury it in my heart. Put it deep in my heart. Fill me with your Spirit. Show me the truth of it. And then I can work on that, believe in that, and see that Word of God grow. And he said here, the last one is on the good ground, is verse 15. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart. Where did the honest and good heart come from? The Bible says we don't have one. We don't have an honest and good heart. Did you know that? Our heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Jeremiah 17:9. But by the new birth, we have a new heart. And it's there where the Word goes into the honest and the good heart. And that's what happened to you. That's what happened to Pastor Julian. He was a woodcutter, remember that? In Al Deliget. He was a woodcutter, like just working for pennies to survive. But in his heart, he did not know where God would bring him. He did not know how God would use him. But he didn't stop. He kept hearing and believing and following. And like, he's a great man of God. This guy is an awesome brother, as many are. By the grace. Nobody gets any honor for that. That was God. Apollos is nothing. Paul is nothing. Cephas is nothing. What are they but they that plant and water? But it's God that gives the increase over there. That was God that gave the increase in that man's life, like in your life. And by the way, there's nothing that this word of God cannot do for you and me in regards to this direction. It's an evolutionary thing, the evolution and the whole thing about the human race. It's a disaster. Are you secure tonight about the direction of the human race? You go to bed at night all like real cozy and comfy with a teddy bear that the world is wonderful. Are you kidding? There has to be something. There has to be. Come on. And there is. Now, when Mary, when she as a virgin was visited by the angel, and the angel said, that holy thing that will be born of you shall be called the Son of God. And she said, let it be unto me according to your word. She was receiving the Son of God who was conceived in her womb physically. The baby was formed. I mean, the Holy Spirit did that. And he was God incarnate. Why wouldn't that parallel what has happened to us when we as sinners simply said to God, all right, I don't know much, but I trust you. Give to me what you came to give me. I trust you. And Christ born in you. Now you have that good and honest heart that was given to you by God. And that's where the word is planted. And you're able to say, I have cares and riches and pleasures in my life, but I'll put them aside. I'll put it aside for now. I want to focus on something deeper. I want God in my life. I want God to show me. I want God to speak to me. I want God to fill me. I want God to help me. I want God to be born in my life and God to produce in my heart love and joy and peace in my heart. That's what I want. And that's what happened to you. And that's how this works. So in closing, he said, just to finish verse 15, it says, having heard the word, they keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, anyone, we know that the scripture says, anyone that believes in you, whoever receives you, 250 times in the New Testament, it says it's just a matter of believing. John 1:12, it's to as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the children of God. Maybe somebody in our audience is not yet born of you and bearing fruit and walking by faith in you. Come to Jesus tonight. Put your trust in him. You can do this. It's in your heart. If you believe in him and trust him, that Holy Spirit comes into you and you have a new heart and a new spirit. And now you're able to hear and you're able to actually see the word of God, the Bible, the actual stories, the Psalms, the doctrines, the prophecies, the teachings. You're actually able to hear it, enjoy it, receive it, and feel the effect of it in your life and feed on it as a way of life, and it will bear fruit. So start your life today. Start your new life. Be born again by saying to Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
So in just a moment here, we're going to have the eighth graders line up, and we'll ask Mr. Cook, their homeroom teacher, to come up. And we'll do a symbolic walk across the stage, which will represent them going from the top of their school, in the eighth grade, to next year where they're going to be still the tops. They're just going to be the tops of the bottom. And, it's very interesting to think that, I was actually thankful that Pastor preached about that portion about being concerned with this life, because just today, Pat Lynch and I were in my office and we were commiserating over our tech stock investments. And, we didn't sing either. All right. I'm sorry. I'm 0-2 up here tonight. But my point is this, is that we have a school, and I'm going to take just a moment and brag about our school. Is that okay? That's good, because I have the mic and you really can't do much about it unless you're Sebastian or one of those. But I'm going to brag about our school, because our school is amazing. We don't just have a group of people that kind of as a hobby come in and teach, but we have really amazing people. We have professional engineers. We have somebody who has a doctorate in the law. We have somebody who's working on their doctorate of education. We have master's degrees throughout. And, the amazing thing about all those things is that it's not for any other reason than being prepared to be able to share the message that you just heard tonight. And our students, they're seeds. And, the one thing I would say about our schools are that we're not schools that are trained to teach you how to properly invest in your electric, whatever it was we were talking about today, Coach Lynch. But it's the school of struggles. We have a school of struggles. Can you imagine that? God is in the struggle. Did you know that? You know what I love? In Psalm 46:10, it says, "Be still and know that I'm God." In our school, we teach how to be still and know that God is God. And when you're thinking about being still and knowing God, that means you're ceasing from all your human activity. And that's the part that differentiates us from so many different places, is that some schools want to only train you in how to become proficient at your human skills so that you can be successful in this life. And you might even get it in a measure. But the place where your seed was planted, the grass grows, it withers, it dies, and they don't remember you anymore. In our school, we say, learn how to be still and know that He's God. All the while getting a world-class education. And I don't mean that cosmos world. I mean top-notch private Christian school education where people are taught how to think with God in the details of life and how to become successful in whatever it is that God takes them to do. And in our school, if you look around at some of our graduates, you'll see people who have really gone far with God. And I'm talking about Secret Service members. I'm talking about state troopers. I'm talking about college grads who are in the medical field. They're talking about in so many ways doing whatever it is that God put in their hand to do. And the foundation for that came because they learned how to be still. And then when they learned how to become still, the next part happened, which is learning how to occupy till I come. Yeah. And to occupy means to take all those tools and all of that investment and learn how to apply it in a way that is profitable to the kingdom of God and to your life. And the place where we grow and the grass where we stand, it'll also forget us. But the impact that we have in the world will be eternal because of the education that we receive in truth. And these students that are going to come across the stage in a little bit have not only learned reading, writing, and arithmetic, but they have learned how to think with God. And some of them are still growing in it, believe it or not. We move the advancement to, we only have a day and a half left because previously we used to have a week and a half left, and I didn't want to have some that would proceed across the stage into ninth grade and then have to go back across the stage next service before it started. These are success stories, and not success stories because they've achieved anything, but because they've learned how to be in the school of struggles. And the last thing I want to say is that the world is trying to eliminate struggle. It wants to, if there's struggle, that's not for our, not for us. You know, this is the world of helicopter parents who are buzzing in to make sure that our little Johnny is not in the struggle, right? In our school, we say struggle's a part of life. It's going to teach, it's going to allow a circumstance where your child is going to learn how to navigate through life with God's mind, and probably along the way learn how to do some things that will cause them to be a leader in the next generation. So that's what we have, and we're very thankful for our teachers. If you're a teacher at GGCA, would you mind just standing for a moment, please? Some up there in the translation booth. Senor Valle is in the translation booth. If you're a student who went to Greater Grace Christian Academy, could you stand up for just a moment, please? Thank you. And for the rest of you, we thank you for your prayers and for your support of the school. It is a phenomenal school because we have a phenomenal faith-filled body of Christ, and our graduations, our advancements, we're just showing off what you've been doing in the prayer room and investing in our lives as we invest in them. And this isn't possible without all of you. And with God, all things are possible. So we're very thankful for that. So if we could ask Mr. John Cook to please come to the stage, and also if we could ask our eighth graders to line up over here at these stairs. Let's see if you can figure this one out, eighth graders. It's the last test before you get advanced. So as they line up, just take a look at them. And then think about what your high school years were like. And then look at them again. And then commit their next 4 years to prayer. Because if you remember what high school life can be like, you know that it is all about being able to see God's mind and see the deliverance of the Lord, whether it stands still or go forward. So pray for them. This is a ceremony where they're showing that they're advancing to the next level, but that just means they need more prayer than this year. Okay? And so do we. So we'll thank you for that. So Mr. Cook, please introduce them, and then we'll have them come up and we'll pray together for them.
All right. First up, we have Ida. Come on up. You can go right over here in front of the pulpit. And then we have Alexis. Smile and wave. And then Kiara. Mariah. And then we have Divine Grace. And Ellie. And then Jonathan. Dylan. Another Tanksley. Kamari. Brody. Maximo. And that's it. And Isaiah.
Pastor, you want to come pray with us for them? Or?
Hello? Okay. It's so critically important that we would care about our families and these young people growing up and learning, and it's so nice that we're part of their life, you know. If you think about this church, and then we have down the sidewalk the day school, that way the learning center and the Bible school and every life. And if the Spirit fills us in everyday living and we get to talk and love and be sharing and listening and kind, very kind, gracious, then we help each other. And we're happy that we're going to get to know you better and part of your life. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Thanks, Pastor Barry and John, for your leadership. And Otto, Pastor Otto, she's my name. Thanks for your, you know, it's amazing. It really is. It's great. Gifts given to the body, isn't it? The gifts of the Spirit given to people to do the things the Lord wants us to do. Acts of mercy, goodness, kindness, instruction, classroom, order. You think of all the things. It's amazing. Coach Lynch, Andrew, you just think of Scotty Dubay, John Nielsen. John Nielsen's the one that knows how many bathrooms we have on our property. How many? What? 87? 87 toilets, okay. Is that enough? Is that enough or what? Sorry, that's some. All right, forget it. No, but I mean, everything that makes this a place, a good place, you know, a good place. Thank you, Lord, for the security, for protection, everything. Also the finances to pay for everything. And these people that dedicate their life to teaching, I mean, it's not a really well-paid job. So they do it with their spouse, saying, you know, I'll be a nurse, you could be a teacher. You know, you get a little money, I'll get more money, but together we can make it work. So there are some, you know, it's just beautiful. It's just beautiful, and it's nice to stop and think about it for a few minutes. Amen, yeah. Okay, so are the eighth graders, are you guys ready to go into ninth grade? If you're thinking maybe not, you can go walk over that direction. You can go over there. But if you want to go, then you'll be going this direction. Is that right, Pastor Bear? Okay, so you'll be going over there. When I stop talking. Okay, when's he going to stop talking? Okay. All right, so let's have a prayer. Lord, for the families, for these young people, for the authority of Christ in their life, protection, encouragement, blessing. Lord, we're not perfect. We're not perfect. We will fall. We will fail. We'll mess up. We're just people. But we are loved by you. You will not stop loving us. You will not stop caring for us. You are the God of all grace. Bless these young people as they grow up. Bless them and use them in Jesus' name. Amen.